Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, and the ESPN app. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales here with you guys, filling in for Janae Agumake. You guys can see Trevor all over SportsCenter on Snapchat, on Sports Nation, on ESPN Plus, alongside Taylor Twellman and Ashley Brewer. And Trev, we got a lot to get to this hour. The Combine may be on the move. Rob Manfred thinks everything is apparently going very well in Major League Baseball right now. And that's before we have a conversation about the Major League Baseball All-Star jerseys, because Trev, we were just talking about, did you have a chance to look at those during the last break, by the way?
Oh, I did. And pal, all the vitriol is so worthy. There's
not enough slander in the world. Everything you need to know about these jerseys, and we'll get to them in a little bit when we talk about Rob Manfred and hear from the commissioner of Major League Baseball, but everything you need to know about these jerseys, Paul Hembakides, the Greek god of stats, who has been on this show, who is a dear friend. We love him so much, but he is an old man trapped in a young person's body, a lover of all things baseball. Loves these jerseys, so that'll let you know exactly the kind of style
Wrong side. You don't want to lie with that.
No. But in the meantime, guys, the NBA's Western Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 3. Luke Kennard and the Clippers are hosting Campaign and the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. And that is just diverting attention away from people who may not have already received the saving light of Hawks propaganda on this show. Trevor Scales proudly repping all things Atlanta today. But Trev, on the other side, we've talked about Atlanta playing with house money so much in this series. Looking at the Bucks, this already feels kind of like, remember in the movie 300 when their whole goal was just to make Xerxes the God King bleed? This feels like the spear hitting the side of the God King and Giannis and this Bucks crew as the Hawks steal another game one. So, Trev, I'm sure you watched last night as closely as everybody else from the Hawks standpoint, but when you look at the Bucks right now, what's the biggest issue they've got with this Hawks team?
It was so weird to kind of try to assess what exactly went awry for Milwaukee, to be completely honest with you. Can point to the last 4 minutes being one of the biggest things that led to their demise. They hit two field goals. Both of them were alley-oops to Giannis. That was it. That was the last 4 minutes, the field goal scored by the Milwaukee Bucks. And you can look at that and say, oh, okay, they just went cold down the stretch. That's just not something that's going to typically happen. But it was a matter of almost identity that took over for Atlanta, right? Like, it was a matter of them going out there playing loose as all outdoors, the weight of the world eventually falling on the shoulders of not only Giannis, but the entirety of that Bucks roster, including the head coach by extension in Mike Budenholzer, and there was just a crumbling of sorts. There was just a tightening of chests collectively that you could see play out while the Hawks were just saying, you know what? We're going to go out here and spin. We're going to throw alley-oops off the backboard in the middle of a pick-and-roll that is running down the lane in an Eastern Conference Finals game and just continue to have fun and play it as the chips lie. The Bucks have a little bit more weighing on them in this series. Maybe that's just what the game one brought about, in that they got hit in the mouth this first game, and now it's a matter of game two, them bouncing back and seeing what they can do. But it's really hard to point to one thing. Obviously, Chris Middleton performing the way that he did isn't necessarily ideal, but can you bank on Drew Holiday doing what he did offensively? So there are so many things to look at, but I'm not entirely sure what the focal point is for Milwaukee at this point.
Yeah, Trevor, I think you pointed out a lot there. Drew Holiday stepped up in a way that offensively had been difficult for him for a while. I don't see Chris Middleton going 0-for-9 from 3 again in this series. Like, I think the Bucks are very much going to win game 2, but this is the debate that always happens in sports, right? It's how much do you say, hey, we know what got us here, we're going to play our game and make them adjust to us, versus going with what the game kind of dictates. Milwaukee let them dictate the terms. Like, you look out, Brook Lopez played 20 minutes in this game and was largely played off the court by the Atlanta Hawks because of their style of play. And I'm sorry, when you are the more talented and healthier team coming into this, because as you pointed out to us, Trev, this isn't the full Atlanta Hawks, not even by a mile. And I know they can point to White Dante on their side for Milwaukee and say they lost him at the beginning of this postseason, but changes have to be made. And Jay Williams, co-host of Keyshawn, Jay Will and Zubin here on ESPN Radio, says it's got to start on the defensive end for Milwaukee.
The Bucks beat the Brooklyn Nets, but I wasn't impressed by the defensive scheme of Coach Budenholzer. Mm-hmm. I really wasn't. And I kept talking about the fact that Kevin Durant, for as incredible of a series that he had, incredible, spectacular, it was a 2-on-1 most of the time because it was a high ball screen, it was a high screen, and then the big who was guarding the screen would sit down at the free throw line and wait for Kevin to come off the screen. That was Brook Lopez. And I said, if they continue to play defense this way against their next opponents, if that is the Atlanta Hawks or if you're playing the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals, that's going to be a major problem. And once again, you even saw the guys on TNT talk about it the whole postgame show, is that when you allow Trae Young to start get cooking in the first half, that's the reason why he gave you a 48-piece chicken piece. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to give you easy buckets because it doesn't matter how good of a defender Jrue Holiday is. It's 2-on-1. The screener comes. He comes off the screen. Brook Lopez wants to sit back there and wait. Trae Young's going to start cooking. That's how easy it is.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Gold Jr. and Trevor Scales. And Trev, it's funny because we've been having this conversation all postseason, right? Like, Trae Young has been doing this to everybody throughout the postseason here. And it's just one of those things where I feel like as long as he's cooking from outside, if Trae Young's not having one of those nights, because as much as we comp him to Bizarro Steph Curry or Wario Steph Curry or Evil Steph Curry, whatever people want to say, he's not the shooter that Steph is. He's not the pure shooter that he is. And so if you don't get him on an off night from beyond the arc, it becomes very difficult for anyone to stop this just because of how potent that floater is.
Yeah, and never mind the fact that if you're going to play the defensive scheme that Jay Will was touching on, where you sink back and allow the screener to create a massive gap, that's when you get shimmied on. Like, that's when Trae Young has enough time to stare at that basket, stare at your defensive player not closing out on him, and then dot one in your eye. And that's like that's what L was referring to earlier in the lack of adjustments made by one Mike Budenholzer, where you just get frustrated at the idea of him saying, no, we're going to play our game, when clearly you are getting beat at your own game. And when you find yourself in that position to a team that's playing as loosely as the Hawks are, it's going to be tough to rattle their cage. You're going to have to come out, doors them in game two in order to, how do I say this, like, put them back in a position where they feel like they are having to vie for this Eastern Conference Final Championship. They feel like they got it in the bag, right? Like, you walking back, you know you've stolen one on the road. You went ski mask season in game one and got that job done. Now it's a matter of Milwaukee finding a way to kind of take that power back in the series in order to assert themselves as, no, we're the favorites here, and we're going to remind you as to why we are.
Yeah, and Trev, I think to that end, I know Jay brought up defensively how they attack Atlanta, but this Milwaukee team, we pointed this out when they scored something like 89 points against the Brooklyn Nets, who could not play defense versus anybody the entire season, scored 80-something points in a game where they got blown out by almost 50 at certain times. Is this Milwaukee team was one of the best offensive teams in basketball during the regular season, and a big part of that offensive production they've been able to count on is Brook Lopez. And so I feel like as much as we talk about him getting played off the court defensively at times because of what happens with Trae Young, at some point you're going to have to make a decision and say, man, if we're not going to get at times consistent performance from Drew or from Chris Middleton, this has got to be another guy that we can count on in spots and are confident enough to say, hey, we're going to go and outscore you in certain stretches of this game and make sure that works. Because in all the other places here, in all the glue guy places, they're getting some issues. One of those guys, Hawks forward John Collins, who has been doing everything. I said, Trev, he fills in all the cracks for you. Like, whatever you need John Collins to do, he is happy to step up and do. And he will join us at 6 o'clock Eastern today on ESPN Radio. And, Trev, I don't know about you. I just want to talk about the shirt.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the shirt. I want to talk about the off-the-backboard lob that you had the unmitigated gall to throw and catch in the middle of a game. I have so many questions just that have nothing to do with the actual scheme of the game. I'm just I'm curious about how much swagger these jokers walk around with on the daily.
I need to know, because I am hearing that apparently this lob is something that these guys have practiced
right
on a number of occasions. And so I need to know how much time you got to have on your hands where you decide that ignorant lobs are a part of your everyday practice routine in a way that you're comfortable showing off in the Eastern Conference Finals. That level of audacity is something that we should all aspire to, even if we know deep down in places we don't talk about at parties that most of us don't walk around with that kind of unbridled, absolute, appalling gall in our everyday lives. But coming up next, some people think that it is taking a lot of temerity, a lot of unmitigated gall by the NFL to propose yet another traveling road show in their offseason process. Let's figure out where the combine is going to be in years to come next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr. the podcast.
Pittsburgh Steelers announced they've released longtime offensive lineman Dave DeCastro, their longtime right guard. Basically done a whole hockey line change on what was the starting offensive line back in 2018. We'll talk to our friend Marcus Spears coming up in about 10 minutes and try and figure out why the Steelers didn't draft an offensive lineman sooner in the NFL draft if they knew this was all going to go down. Chin Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales. But Trev, before we get to that, this news we saw breaking yesterday, I believe it was the Indianapolis Business Journal that first reported it, but Dan Graziano here with us confirming that the NFL announced that it is listening to bids to potentially host the NFL Combine as soon as coming up next year, or I believe in 2023, as what has long been an Indianapolis tradition might take its talents on the road. And Trev, can we even act surprised anymore that the NFL looked at something in its offseason and said, hey, we think we can make more money and fans out of this?
No, absolutely not, especially after the spectacle that we've seen it become, right? It's going the way of the NFL draft as it becomes more and more of a built-for-TV product. The benefit of this one is now you got daytime television programming that they end up running back in primetime. So it's not just a primetime product anymore. Now they're saying, we're going to take this thing, this monstrous event, and rotate it around the cities, get everybody a little bit of love, and probably get some more TV money out of it, because who doesn't want to see the underwear Olympics, apparently?
Yeah, apparently. And in all this, Trev, like, if the Combine moves, like, I love Indianapolis. I went to school in Indiana, so it's a city that I certainly love. Shout out to the Kurt Vonnegut Museum. Like, it's all great. That being said, if they decide to move this Combine and it happens to go somewhere else, I'm not going to lose sleep, because the bottom line is, while I care, you know, to some extent about the city of Indianapolis, I care a lot more about the experience of the players that has already fully blown cheeks at the Combine. Like, this is a thing that is basically a exercise of mental warfare on these guys heading into that long weekend in the cold hotel that is a refurbished train station in Indianapolis. Like, none of this process is something that players like. And I say this as someone that didn't get invited to the Combine and definitely holds no grudge against it. But, like, Trev, I'm sure you, like me, have never talked to a player that said, oh yeah, I'd love the Combine and can't wait to do it again. Like, it is usually a nightmarish experience for these guys, where they are prodded, poked, and hopefully teams on their end are basically trying to find ways to get these guys for less in the upcoming draft. So whatever they decide to do with it, if it ends up in a spot that maybe gives them a little bit warmer weather in that process, then good for them for making some part of the experience at least tolerable.
Doug, there's a reason why a lot of the top prospects try to avoid doing as much as they possibly can on that stage, because it's set up for folks to fail. One, it is on the heels of you wrapping up your season. And for those who may not be aware of just how much you have to train for something like that, you need at least like a 12-week gap in order to really get your body cooled down from a regular season, bulk back up appropriately so that you can be in the best possible physical shape. So if you're running into cats that are coming off of a national championship tilt per se, right? That's 8 weeks max that you really get to prepare your body to do an entirely different set of drills that you may not have done previously in your lifetime. Couple that with the fact that you're supposed to be on top of this thing mentally, to put your best foot forward with all given scouts that are just there to rattle your cage mentally. It is, again, as you said, the worst possible set of circumstances you hope to thrive in that you can possibly imagine. So, if we can get some quality of life going, if you can put it out of SoFi Stadium out in L.A. for a little bit, take it out to Vegas, give me a weekend out there too. I might clown around, you might get some headlines out of it, but I'll have a little bit better of an experience as a player, and frankly, just about everybody outside of the production involved as well. Like, there are benefits to this outside of it just being a cash cow for the city of Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, the probably number one drivers of the idea of taking this around and barnstorming it like the draft are the coaches, scouts, and media members who end up meeting at these things and having a pretty good time at it. So never forget that the Combine is basically about everyone but the players as far as how this experience goes. Now, Chin Angle Jr. on ESPN Radio. The other NFL news that I thought was interesting, Trevor, was off the heels of so much of the conversation around the COVID-19 vaccine and NFL players, the rules that the league put out leading up to the 2021 season. season that make life very different for vaccinated players versus unvaccinated players. And we heard from Cole Beasley in the Notes app. Again, shout out to the Notes app for having a very big 2021. And also heard from Sam Acho, who works in some capacity for the NFLPA, basically saying in his words, he thought that the NFL was trying to shame players into getting the vaccine in this. Well, we got another announcement today. The NFL players who voluntarily opt out of the 2021 season due to COVID-19 concerns will not receive a stipend. They have to decide by July 2nd if they're going to opt out of playing this season due to COVID concerns. If you don't have a high-risk background, if you weren't someone that opted out last year, you are not going to receive that stipend anymore, Trevor. So I'm just wondering if this is going to be seen as the similar level of shaming players into opting in for this season, even if it's not something that they want to choose to do.
Right, dog. Like, it's very clearly, hey, you want to play football? This is what you got to do, right? It's very cut and dry as to what you need to do in order to have a sense of normalcy as you navigate this 2021-2022 NFL season. Like, it's, they've laid it out, and you can take this, you can choose your path, right? Like, like those old school books where you would flip the page, 50 if you chose one option and 47 if you didn't. Like, they are making it abundantly clear of what your experience will be if you choose not to do the things that are, frankly, streamlining the process of pulling off an NFL season. And so we can make it about shame if you want to, but dog, it's just a football decision. How much do you love it? How much do you want to be a part of this? How much do you want to get this money that you are owed by contract negotiations basis?
Everyone has always said, we need to respect everyone's choice, no matter what it is, because it's personal health. And that's cool. The NFL is saying you have a choice on both sides of all of this, right? You got a choice if you want to get vaccinated or not. You're just going to experience a very different NFL season if you don't. And on the other side, you got a choice if you want to play at all or not. If you look at the situation and decide for you and your family and your lifestyle that this is a risk that you don't want to take, because there is still some risk in all of that. There's always a risk. But the NFL is saying on one side, hey, we still have to look out for the health and safety of the people involved in this. So if you're not vaccinated, you got to live a certain way in here. But we also believe we've made it safe enough to where if you want to opt out and you don't have an underlying health cause, you weren't an opt out last year, well, we're not going to give you that said same stipend because we believe we've done enough to create an environment on that end. Both choices that have consequences here. Neither one really looks like shame to me, so I'm still confused as to where that word comes up in this conversation. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Sorry, Trev, I didn't mean to cut you off there if you had something.
Please. No. Get to the money. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I was just saying, like, the idea of these are both very reasonable tracks and reasonings behind what we're doing and the decisions you make, whatever reason and logic you want to apply to them, we're allowing you to do that. But please understand that there's a logic behind the ramifications of your decisions by whatever logic.
Listen, as you say, choices have consequences. That is what comes down to both sides of this, although we know both sides of this that would be making these decisions don't agree on a lot of other things that would probably actually lead to what's at the center of this discussion, but we're not going to do that here or now. Coming up next, though, we will check in and see, is this idea of moving this combine around something we should really explore? Should Rob Manfred think things are going well in Major League Baseball? We got plenty to get to, and we'll do it next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, sitting in for Jhené Egbuemeke today, as it is all Hawks propaganda all the time on here. But we also got to bring more friends into the show. We head to the Goodyear Hotline now, where we're joined by our friend, ESPN NFL analyst Marcus Spears, kind enough to give us some time here today. Marcus, what's going on, man?
What's up, my guy? What's up, Trev?
What's going on?
We're doing good here, Marcus.
I'm about to load up this Fortnite in a minute. What's happening?
There we go. Like I say, before Marcus drops in on all that here, we got to get him loose with everything here because we know Marcus is always dialed in and ready to go there. But, man, we were just talking, Marcus. I'm looking up at the Pittsburgh Steelers right now who just announced they released Dave DeCastro today, and I don't recognize anyone on this roster here. This is just the latest in a series. This is offseason. So do we have any reason to trust the Pittsburgh Steelers going into this season?
Oh, I'm holding on hope, MG Jr. I'm holding on hope the fact that Tomlin is a winning coach and what they did 2 years ago without Big Ben. I'm holding on hope that T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward is going to get this defensive unit where it needs to be. I'm holding on hope, man, that they know something about this offensive line that we don't. I'm just holding out hope, man, and that's not like a confident hope. That's like it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's a lot of history, a lot of tradition. Mike Tomlin, who I regard as one of the best coaches in the last decade in the NFL, I'm leaning on past knowledge as opposed to what I see at the present moment. And we all know, man, if this offensive line is not fixed and better, then Pittsburgh will be struggling. And they took Najee Harris, who I think was an upgrade over everybody they had in their backfield, but can't block them, can't win, man. That's really what it boiled down to. So I'm holding out hope, but I'm nervous as hell, MG Jr. That's the honest truth.
It's a pretty simple formula. As you said, if you don't get any push on that front line, what are you doing with a back there that can make anything happen? But another pretty easy decision that the NFL is trying to make for just about all of their players is how they navigate this season between the vaccination differences in protocol and procedures and everything like that. And now the most recent discussion surrounding the lack of stipend that you will receive should you choose to opt out this season without a certain level of precursors and everything like that. Marcus, what does this, in your mind, sort of display from an NFL standpoint? What is the message that the league is trying to get out to their players by making all of these real cut-and-dry policies for this coming season?
That it's a clear line in the sand. It's a delineation between how you want your year to go as an individual player as opposed to – look, it's alternatives, man. You vaccinated, you have one set of rules. You're not vaccinated, you have another set. And this was something that, you know, over a year of playing through a pandemic and still, you know, you got a variant out there. COVID is not just disappeared. It's better because people have been getting vaccinated. And look, I'm a big proponent of you do what the hell you want to do. But I'm not a big proponent of you do what the hell you want to do and then go to wherever and make the rules and tell people how they should do things. That's the bottom line. So, for me, it's very simple. I mean, we had the Cole Beasley tweet a couple last week, I think, and I went back and forth with people on Twitter, and it was never about whether Cole Beasley should be vaccinated or not vaccinated. It's about don't complain about the rules that are set in place for either or. And that's really simple and dry for me, man. Y'all know me. I'm a very, like, foundational guy. Nuance is necessary in certain situations. This right here is clear to me. If you're vaccinated, You accord and you go and you play and you operate throughout the league this way. If you're not, you go accordingly to what that is, what those ramifications are. It ain't punishment, it's the damn rules.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Marcus Spears, longtime NFL veteran, LSU alum, and our current ESPN NFL analyst. You see on NFL Live every Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern. Now, Marcus, we also know we also talk a ton of hoops with you on here. People see you talking hoops on Get Up and everything right now. So I'm sure you were watching last night. Was that Trae Young shimmy the most disrespectful thing in that game, or was the lob to John Collins off the backboard somehow even better?
The shimmy was most disrespectful. All right. First of all, he threw Drew Holiday off a cliff, okay? And he just was shimmying to get that bad energy off of him so he could knock that shot down. But it's disrespectful as hell, man, to do that. You shake a dude that bad, and then the help off the screen doesn't get there. Guy's looking at you, and you just kind of like, okay, well, let me shake this off and pull this jumper. Trae Young hooping, man. Ice Trae hooping. But that was the most disrespectful part. Now, if we went back to the alley hoop that was caught on the top of somebody's head, I'm not going to mention it. That was more disrespectful. But this game, the disrespect came from the shimmy, man.
No, we can go ahead and mention it. Joel Embiid, you got to work. Like, okay. We're going to go all ahead and call it what it is now.
You do it, Trevor. You do it. They're going through hell in Philadelphia right now. And then for the sake of my man, Kevin Negandhi, our coworker, I told him I'm going to lighten up because I go through it with the Cowboys. So I'm going to let you take it.
Fair enough. Now, am I wrong to be as hesitant as I am, Marcus, about the idea of latching on to this and enjoying the ride? Because Man, I'm an Atlanta fan through and through, and I'm a scorned lover of sorts, man. And I'm having trouble just committing to this and allowing myself to feel it. Am I wrong for that, Marcus?
Hell yeah, you wrong for that, man. You rep where you rep. Like, when you in fan mode, but you are not crazy. You're not dumb. Be cautious, too. Listen, I think the Bucks are a better team than Atlanta. All right, but in basketball, you got to win four or however the hell many they got to win. All I know is this, okay? I watched the Bucks figure it out against the Nets, and obviously the Nets being hampered by injury and things like that. I know the Bucks have good players on their team. I know Chris Middleton can get hot. I just don't know for a series if the Hawks are going to be able to keep this up. Man, it took Trey to get 48 to win by three. For me, man, that's concerning. Now, if you think Trey going to have them performances every night, and that's the way it's going to be, and that's what's going to be needed in order to beat the Bucks, and he can deliver, then I'm right there with you, man. Let's celebrate. But when you got a guy go off for almost 50, and you need all 50 of them, that concerns me a little bit, because we saw that with KD, and it ran out.
I can say at some point, Superman needs a little bit of help out there. Now, Trae Young might be one of the smaller Supermans on record, but playing like it nonetheless at this point in time. So I'm with you, Marcus. Long way to go in this series, but a hell of a start here, man. Everyone, check him out on Twitter, at MSpears96. Also, watch him on NFL Live. Get up all over the network here. Marcus, enjoy Fortnite, man. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, my guys. I'll take care, man.
Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And anytime Marcus is around, like I've always said, Trev, he's like one of those teammates that whenever you're around, he makes everyone in the room feel better about themselves. He like makes everyone feel instantly cooler. He's just that kind of impact on everyone here. If you wanted to find the exact opposite of Marcus Spears and make it into an item of clothing, I have a Major League Baseball All-Star uniform that you may want to see. We will get to that and some words from Rob Manfred next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And we're going to hear from MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred in a second here on Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, but if we're going to talk disrespect the way we were coming off of this Atlanta Hawks series, my God in heaven, do you see what Kevin Durant's doing on Twitter right now, Trev?
Anybody can get it is the general sense that we're getting right now. Anybody.
So what had happened was Scottie Pippen went on and was talking somewhere about the difference between Kevin Durant and LeBron James, apparently, in a way that basically, I believe the quote was, here it is, KD, as great as his offense was, it turned out to be his worst enemy because he didn't know how to play team basketball. He kept trying to go punch for punch. Have you ever seen LeBron take a shot like that? He ain't going to take that shot. He's going to be smarter. He's going to force a double. That's what KD wasn't able to do. Kevin Durant went on Twitter and responded and says, didn't the great Scottie Pippen refuse to go in the game for a last-second shot because he was in his feelings? His coach drew up a play for a better shooter. And then he responded to someone else and said, this guy Scott also wanted to enjoy his summer, so he chose to rehab during the season. Scottie Pippen, they followed Phil, not you. Now, we're not here to take sides in this at all, but this guy, Scott, is the most disrespectful thing anyone's probably ever said about Scottie Pippen. And we all went through The Last Dance this summer and watched them rehash that whole migraine situation.
Right. Like, it was so clear that he was there for blood and blood only. He was there to take out any and every sense of pride that Scottie Pippen may have left. And the idea that Scott would talk about him, to quote once Kevin Durant, is just beneath Durant. He was indignant at the idea of Scottie Pippen trying to approach him in his game. I have not seen that in quite some time, and I am relishing in the tizzy that he has a time on it. I love it.
Kevin Durant's whole ethos is like the exact opposite of whatever LeBron's zero dark 30-23 was in those postseasons. Like, no, Kevin Durant is just always online. Midseason, postseason, offseason, it doesn't matter. KD and four. Like, that's how it goes on the internet here, apparently. At Mike Golic Jr., at Trevor Scales, by the way, is where you can get at us on Twitter. But Trev, in the world of Major League Baseball, we have seen a whole week of pitchers basically trying to take off their pants at the mound as Major League Baseball's umpires have cracked down on spider tack and all this other sticky stuff right now. Do you believe Rob Manfred when he says that the MLB crackdown has, quote, gone very well, despite what the pitchers have had to say?
The crackdown itself has gone well. It has been executed, right? Like, they are cracking down by General Benjamin. Like, that box is checked. The response to the crackdown is not good at all. It is very, very bleak, in fact. It was bad from a bunch of different players. We have managers coming out the dugout trying to holler and dry snitch. And, well, ironically, I shouldn't have used dry snitch there. But in any case, like, it's bad as far as the response to said crackdown. But, yeah, Rob is right. Like, the crackdown itself has gone well.
Yeah. Man, like, we have different definitions of well, I guess. Like, if we are talking about and going to continue to use, like, understanding the assignment here, like, the assignment was to get this out of baseball. And so far, it is working. But the larger charge for the commissioner, for the league, and for everyone else involved is to maybe at some point think about not having the most toxic relationship between players and league possible. And it seems like Major League Baseball, and we saw Jeff Passan had another great article on the looming labor battle that is coming up with the CBA in this next year. And it doesn't seem like this is going to go a long way in helping that, Trev. Like, if we're looking, it may not push this thing to the brink by any means, but it's definitely not going to help bridge some sort of larger piece for Major League Baseball and the players.
Right, right. Micro level, sure, he's executing to a T. But yeah, macro level, this is going to be a problem. We talked to Brad Lidge earlier this week, Mike, and he was saying the amount of nuance that should have been approached with this. If you weren't going to, you know, make this an off-season change, like, then you had to absolutely approach this with an understanding that, like, look, you're going to run into some of this stuff, and you're going to have to parse it out between who's out here trying to take an inch and run with it for a mile, and who's actually just paying respect to the gamesmanship that is, frankly, across all of professional sports and sports at large, right? Like, they were supposed to, at least in theory, approach it with a level of nuance that allows for room for discussion. Now, they went in there with the gusto of a thousand suns, Mike, and this is working out horrendously on the back end.
It's really not great. Like, this is going well in the same way that when I commit a holding call as an offensive lineman, yes, I am technically protecting the quarterback, and he is technically not getting hit, but no one's happy with the result on the other side of all of this. So the big song and dance that we have gotten has been tremendously entertaining. So maybe we should be thankful for Rob Manfred, who is basically trying to treat this like he is the dog in the burning room right now, saying, well, at least the house is still up, even if it's all on fire at this point in time. But, Trev, we did see earlier today here, like, someone's going to have to help them out with this All-Star Game uniform situation, right? Like, if you haven't, go to your computer, Google 2021 Major League Baseball All-Star uniforms here, and just check out what they have concocted right now. This game was supposed to be out in Colorado. It has been moved to Atlanta. They are still trying to incorporate Colorado Rockies colors into all this. And the bottom line is, Trev, these uniforms just don't look very good. And Major League Baseball, for the first time, has decided that they are not going to wear the All-Star uniforms just in batting practice, and I believe the practice earlier in the week. They're actually going to wear them during the game. So you are changing a tradition and replacing it with uniforms that, I'm sorry, just aren't good.
You rocking all kinds of boats, and you ain't got no business doing that, right? Like, you handing out Henley tees and expecting people to be excited about that? That's reckless on so many different fronts, dog. Like, it was bad enough that the style of the shirt is one that looks not great. And then y'all just slapped vertical font on it because you thought that was a wave. It's just all bad, dog. Like, entirely too many changes at one time only leads to disaster. You should know that, baseball.
Spinning too many plates. Like, if I can sit here and say, yeah, that's not it, and I am about as low on the style totem pole as humanly possible here, you know you've got problems. If, again, our friend Paul Hembakides, the Greek god of stats, is out here saying that I love these Major League Baseball All-Star unis, I love you to death, Hembo, but that is not a side of history that I want to be on here with you. So we'll see if Major League Baseball has any answers for that. But coming up next, if we want to talk style choices, if we want to talk greater decisions in fashion history, there is only one place we have got to go. The Atlanta Hawks star John Collins joins us next to talk about the dunk and the shirt here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.